Our first reading tonight is from Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near. Yes, this is he of whom this was spoken through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all of Judea, and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for his baptism, he said to them, 'You offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do you think of saying to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father"? For I tell you that God is able to raise up children from Abraham from these stones. Already the axe is ready to strike the root of the trees. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but the one who comes after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to be baptized by John at the Jordan, but John tried to stop him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, because it is proper for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then John let him. After Jesus was baptized, he immediately went up out of the water. Suddenly the heavens were opened for him. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and landing on him. And a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my Son, whom I love. I'm well pleased with him." Our second reading is Matthew chapter 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, he rolled away the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. And look, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." They hurried away from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They approached, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go tell my brothers that they should go to Galilee, and there they will see me." As they were on their way, there were some members of the guard who went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. After the chief priests had assembled with the elders and had reached a decision, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say his disciples came at night and stole him away while we were sleeping. If the governor hears about it, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." After the soldiers took the money, they did as they were instructed, and this story has been repeated among the Jews until this day. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some hesitated because they were uncertain. Jesus approached and spoke to them, saying, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and gather disciples from all nations, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to keep all the instructions I have given you, and surely I am with you always, until the end of the age." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight we are considering the question, what is baptism. Let's begin with the word itself. Baptism is not an English word, but a Greek word. It comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to wash. So to baptize something means to wash it. Normally, when we're washing something, we use water. And so it is also with Christian baptism. But as our catechism puts it, it is not just plain water. Something has been added to it. What has been added to it? It's God's command and God's word. Baptism was not something that was invented by anyone. God himself is the one who gave it to us. As we heard in our second reading from the end of Matthew's gospel, after Jesus rose from the dead, before he ascended into heaven, he told his disciples to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. These disciples were commanded by their master what they were supposed to do. They were also told how to do it. While applying water, they were to do this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So now we know what baptism is. It is the application of water while the words are said, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That's it. It's very simple. It takes less than a minute. So long as it's performed according to how Jesus instituted it, and so long as the water and the words are used, it is a valid and effective baptism. We know what baptism is. Now, what does it mean? Our two readings tonight from Matthew's Gospel are helpful for answering this question. The first reading was from chapter 3, so toward the beginning of the Gospel. This was before Jesus began to publicly preach and teach and perform miracles and so on. It was before Jesus himself was baptized in the Jordan River, before he began to do all these activities, as we heard in our reading. In this prehistory to Jesus' own work, we hear about a man named John, the forerunner to Jesus. He eventually became known as John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist. You can probably guess how he got that name. He preached, and then those who were sorry for their sins, he baptized. So we can see that Christian baptism did not come out of nowhere. There was a precedent that had already been set with John, who was before Jesus, or possibly others, although the Bible doesn't tell us anything about that. The meaning of baptism is already indicated in John's baptism, and to understand John's baptism, we need to listen to what he said. He said, "Repent, because the kingdom of heaven is near." That means that God, with his kingship, is coming. God, as king, will apply his judgments. And how will you fare in that judgment? John says, already the axe is ready to strike the root of the trees. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Some of you may face this judgment from God in a very short time. We don't know how long we will live. It might be a year or two from now. Indeed, for any one of us, no matter how old we are, it could be this very night, for we know neither the day nor the hour. And what should happen when you're weighed in that balance? This is the kind of thing that John preached. But it was not really just John's preaching, but the whole Bible's preaching. John sounds very much like the Old Testament prophets, who spoke about the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. This day when God comes, when the King comes, and then there will be judgment. Many at the time of John the Baptist rejected this preaching. They thought that John was too worked up over nothing. So it was at the time of Noah. So it was at the time of Sodom, and so it is also today. Most people never think of the idea at all, for years and years on end, about meeting their Maker. And even when they think about dying, it doesn't come to mind. And if it should be brought up, they quickly dismiss it. Those who were baptized by John, however, did not dismiss this truth. When they considered the thought of being judged by God, they were terrified, particularly by his righteous judgment, by the justice and the punishment required. When they thought about the life that they had lived, they knew that they had committed many and grievous sins. They literally asked John what they should do. John told them to repent and be baptized. He also, and most importantly, pointed them to Jesus, whose sandal strap he was unworthy to untie. He said, "Look, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And indeed, with Jesus, this is the very thing that we see. In a sense, we've already talked about this great and terrible day of the Lord. In a sense, this great and terrible day of the Lord happened that one Friday in the springtime so many years ago. The great and terrible day of the Lord came with clouds and thick darkness. Bodies were raised from the dead, rocks were split, and the curtain in the temple was torn in two. The Lamb, God's own Son, was sacrificed. That is to say that he was judged. With all the sins of the world laid upon him, he was pronounced guilty and punished with the full weight of the wrath of God. In him and in him alone can sinners find consolation when they are worried about being judged by God. For it is only in him, the God-man, Jesus Christ, that there is redemption for sin. There is no other sacrifice that will cut it. There is no other way to make up for it or to cover your sins. If you climbed every mountain, went to the furthest reaches of the galaxy, or cured COVID, cancer, and the common cold all at once, none of this can wash away the stains of sin from your soul. None of these things can make something that is evil into something that is good. Even all of the good intentions in the world, all the turning over of new leaves will not cut it. All that stuff is but cosmetic. Our problem goes much deeper. It is only addressed by this one man, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And this takes us to our second reading, the last chapter of Matthew. The redemption that Jesus has worked by his sacrificial death is distributed through the risen and ascended Lord Jesus. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That means he's in control of all things. And he goes and says to his disciples, "Go, make disciples by baptizing them." He's telling them how he will rule in his kingdom, and that is, he will rule through the preaching of the forgiveness of sins, for the promise of escaping judgment and hell. The Christian baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is the way that Jesus' completed work of redemption is applied to sinners so that they may hold to it by faith. By this baptism we are forgiven of all our sins, rescued from death and the devil, and given eternal salvation, as the words and promises of God declare. So we, as Jesus' disciples, are to continue to do what Jesus has given us to do. We are to preach like John the Baptist. The kingdom of heaven draws near. God comes to judge the earth. How will you escape from the wrath about to be revealed? How can you stand up under his judgment? And the answer is that we are baptized into Christ. By baptism, we are released from our slavery to the devil and become children of God, holding all things together in common with Jesus. There is no higher or better thing that we Christians have to offer the world than to distribute baptism. Like the ark saved Noah and his family, so baptism saves us. This does not mean that it is recognized as great or powerful or salvific. No, it's despised as worthless, not only by unbelievers, which you would expect, but even by Christians, as we'll learn about more in the weeks ahead. But let us not be moved away from the simple logic of baptism. Have you sinned? Are you dirty? Do you want to be washed and made clean? Baptism will do that for those who have not yet been baptized. Baptism has done that and continues to do its saving work if you have been baptized. These are not my thoughts or words, but Jesus's. For he himself says, "Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." In this way, be prepared for the great and terrible day of the Lord by believing in the gift of forgiveness and salvation that God has given to you when he baptized you. Then that great and terrible day will prove to not be so great and terrible for you. In fact, it will be the best day that you've ever lived. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.